Hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode number 122. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. Many of you have reached out to me because you are struggling with some sort of illness, especially chronic illness, and things that are impacting not only your physical health, but also your emotional health. And decluttering and simplifying have definitely helped me on my motherhood journey when I have dealt with postpartum anxiety, and then also thinking that I had what we're going to talk about on the show today, PMDD, which stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And today's guest is an expert in PMDD and also used minimalism as well as mindfulness to help her on her journey to mitigate her symptoms. And so I'm very happy to introduce you today to Diane DeJesus. And Diane is a registered dietitian, lactation consultant, trauma-informed mindfulness teacher, and a mom who lives with PMDD. And after hitting rock bottom, unable to work, and barely able to perform daily tasks, Diane found peace and acceptance in her relationship with PMDD through mindfulness as well as minimalism, which you'll talk about in the episode. And she lives in Texas with her husband, son, and their puppy. And I know you're really going to love this conversation. Diane speaks very candidly, not only about her journey, but also about how we, even if we don't have PMDD, but we want to have more emotional regulation in our lives, what her recommendations are as far as what we can do to simplify our lives to be able to mitigate those issues. So, what do you say? Grab the notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Diane DeJesus. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Diane. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am thrilled to talk to you today.
Hi, Emily. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, I was so glad when you reached out to me about being a guest on your podcast, because there was a time not too long ago that I was fairly certain I was dealing with PMDD, which we're just going to say what it is right now. And then for the rest of the episode, we'll use the acronym, right? Premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Dysphoric?
Yes. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Disorder, which in my mind, and we're going to kind of unpack a little bit more what it actually is, but in my mind at the time, it was what I like to call PMS on steroids, which for me, it was just like, why is it 2 weeks out of every month, like half my life, yes, I'm having this increased sensitivity, increased anxiety, all these different things. But I am looking forward to chatting with you about that. That's kind of sort of how we connected. Yeah. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about you and your family, sort of how you serve women through your podcast and anything you like to do when you aren't doing all of those things?
Sure. So I am a born and raised New Yorker. I'm from Brooklyn. I met my husband in high school. We've been together ever since. And roughly 10 years ago, we picked up and moved to London in the UK to take advantage of a job opportunity. And that's where we had our son, who's now about to turn 7. And these days we live in Austin, Texas with our little Yorkie puppy. So definitely we've had some big changes, big moves. Professionally, I am a registered dietitian and an international board certified lactation consultant, which is another mouthful. But more recently, I also am a trauma-informed mindfulness teacher, and I work as a mindfulness and acceptance coach to people who live with PMDD. And when I'm not doing that, let's see, I love to knit. I love being really active and in the outdoors. So dancing and hiking and rock wall climbing and all that kind of thing is kind of how I
Wow.
like to spend my free time.
And I know that Austin is a very like outdoorsy type of place. It just seems like a really cool place to live. So I'll have to visit you someday.
You are welcome to. The fun thing is that we have so many beautiful hiking opportunities and really unique outdoor parks and things. So we can drive down the road and go see a park full of peacocks, or we could spend every day of the year going on a different hike every weekend. And it's really fun.
Yeah, very cool. And I have used lactation consultants for both of my children, and that was a godsend. So appreciate all the things you're doing to support women and moms specifically. And I would love if you could kind of bring us back to a time in your motherhood, and this could be when your son is born, because I know there's a lot to unpack there, or more recently when you were feeling completely overwhelmed. And you just didn't know how to shift things, but it was kind of like that rock bottom moment where you're like, okay, something needs to change. And what were you able to change to kind of get yourself out of that?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. I think my biggest overwhelm just came straight off the bat when my son was born. My experience of his birth was a traumatic one, and ultimately I was diagnosed with postpartum PTSD. I was very fortunate to somewhat quickly get a diagnosis and then get some really excellent treatment. I had a really wonderful therapist, and she worked with me on EMDR, which I believe is eye movement desensitization
Desensitization. Yeah,
and
I did.
reprocessing,
Yes,
right?
I had that too. I did that too.
Yes. And so I did EMDR. I was with her about a year and it was working great. I could see the progress. And then something interesting happened where suddenly I started experiencing either new symptoms or symptoms from the PTSD seemed like they were coming back. However, suddenly this whole toolbox of tools and strategies that I had learned from the therapist suddenly weren't working. And the therapist and I ultimately came to the conclusion that there was something else going on. I needed to look into it, perhaps see a medical doctor about it. Eventually, I was almost certain it was PMDD. So I put together a bunch of kind of evidence. I came with all my research and my paperwork, took that to my doctor. This was with the NHS in London. Again, I really lucked out because this is not everyone's experience, but my doctor, she heard me. She saw me. She wasn't super familiar with PMDD, but she looked it up and she looked up the NHS guidelines and the NICE guidelines, and NICE being the acronym, I forget what for.
That's
And
okay.
she said, "Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's PMDD." She wrote me a script for the medication I requested, and so I walk away thinking, well, now that I know what it is, I can figure out what I need to do to feel better. And like, let's move on. That's not how it worked, of course. And so here I am, someone who I've just entered motherhood for the first time. I just went through PTSD. I now have this new condition, which I should mention is both a psychological and physical and cognitive condition. So it really just from head to toe, inside and out, your whole life, there are so many symptoms and so many areas of your life and your day-to-day that it affects and the quality of your life. At my lowest, I was unable to work. I could hardly think straight. I could barely, during my luteal phase anyway, which is between ovulation and the bleed, I couldn't even read sometimes, understand just what I was seeing before me. Horrific aches and pains. I mean, just everything. It runs the gamut. And here I am trying to manage, take care of my little baby. My husband's traveling a ton for work. We live in a foreign country. We don't have family with us, and we have very few very close friends. So I'm looking for some sort of relief. And about the same time, I really discovered and dove into both mindfulness and minimalism, and very quickly began to see the impact that those both could have on my life and the benefit that I could experience as a result of really diving into those things. And so, with the minimalism, the part I get really excited talking to you about is I originally started with my own things and my own spaces and moved on eventually to like our communal spaces and my little baby's things that he wasn't attached to. But what I loved, oh, I should mention too, along the way, COVID came along in the middle of all of this.
Let's not forget that.
Oh my gosh, this is like, 2017, to today, but the worst of it was like 2017 to 2021, let's say. So of course, COVID comes along in the midst of this. And what I loved and what was unexpected was beginning to apply minimalism to my things and to my life began to show me that I could just show myself self-compassion, just live for the season in my life that I'm in right now. Not worry about my expectations of what I thought I should look like or what my life should look like. Not worry about what past me had done or would have been able to do. And clearing up that space, both physically in my environment, but also in my head, relieved so much anxiety and stress and helped me to start to see more clearly because I was living in this weird bubble, this foggy-headed place, this place of not being able to think straight. And suddenly I could think more clearly. I could see my life more clearly. I could see my priorities and my values more clearly and not waste my time on things that I thought maybe I should be doing or I should be able to do or that I thought perhaps other people expected me to do. I got really narrowly focused on just what's the most important thing right now. And that was huge. And then summer 2021, we moved back to the States. So, things just weren't challenging enough. We decided to make an international move. We moved to the States and in a really practical sense, kind of simplifying our home and our life made that experience, which, even just a small move, the same city down the block, whatever. It's stressful. And being able to simplify my space and my life and my priorities helped streamline that process so much. It was so easy peasy, shockingly so. But even more so, we stopped first in New York for a while because that's where our family is. We stayed there for the summer. And in the fall, we ultimately came to Austin. And this is where I really started to, I think, apply more like less minimalism, more like simple living, and applying the concepts of minimalism to everything in my life, physical, emotional, internally and externally. And I started doing more, PMDD wise, I started doing more tracking of my symptoms, planning my schedule, my calendar around the times that I knew would be the most difficult and challenging for me each month, saying yes to the things I wanted to say yes to and saying no to the things that just weren't going to serve me at that time. And huge, I developed routines. I don't know how I decided to do this, but I was really at one of those points where I just was barely hanging on in terms of getting through each day, taking care of my son who is now in preschool. And so I developed like an AM and a PM routine, which to me was an extension of the minimalism and the simple living and the mindfulness. So every morning, no matter what, I would make the beds because I noticed the knockoff effect of like if I made a bed, I might see the water glass and take it to the kitchen, or I might grab some clothes sitting around and put them in the laundry. You know, there was a knockoff effect of keeping the home tidy. And I would do something related to laundry every day, whether it was putting in a load or folding a dry load and putting them away. And I, what was the other thing? I emptied the dishwasher, so it'd be ready for filling. And every evening it was like I wouldn't go to bed without taking care of anything food, trash, or dishwasher related. So I'd wake up in the morning and not have the instant stress of being welcomed by, you know, a nasty food mess. And these things really kept me going and kept me able to still be able to have fun times with my husband and my son and explore our new town, you know, when I was feeling well, because they allowed me to get, I don't know if get rid of is maybe better manage what I think of as sort of unnecessary or preventable or manageable stressors and anxieties.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And I love the combination of mindfulness and minimalism because I think, especially if you're going through something like PMDD, where you have the anxiety, you have a lot that's going in your body, of course, but a lot going on in your mind. And just like the constant rumination, the negative thoughts, the things that are really keeping you stuck. And the mindfulness is really, like you said, what is happening in this season? What is happening in this present moment? I'm not worrying about the future. I'm not ruminating about the past and things that happened to me. I'm able to focus on the here and now. And then when you have that combination with the simplifying and the minimalism and being able to have that clearer physical space, then it's like, oh, okay, I'm focusing on the now and I can do these small practical things, like you said, like making the bed, doing a little bit of planning, having that margin in your mind to be able to not feel like you're in this victim situation and victim mentality all the time and be more proactive about planning for potential symptoms that will come because you still experience some physical symptoms, I would assume. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I learned with a lot of trial and error is that I can do all the things. I can try to do everything quote unquote right in terms of managing my symptoms. And life is going to get stressful. You might have to make a move, or you might have a, you know, a small child, and things come up, which that added stress can suddenly make symptoms come back or make symptoms worse. And so what I've learned is that keeping minimalism and mindfulness in my life and coming back to them really helps to manage that, to kind of bring the symptoms down as much as I can, to help me accept them more and go with the flow better, you know, to kind of go, okay, well, this is what it is right now. What can we do to work around it? Or what do we still have that we can do, or that we can enjoy despite the symptoms?
That's very helpful. I was curious, you know, when if someone's listening to this and they're like, huh, I've never heard of PMDD before. I'm going to look into it. And they start doing a little bit of the research as to like what the symptoms could be. And my understanding is depending on the number of symptoms, you have to have like a certain number checked off in order, like when you go to your doctor to say, okay, here's my tracking. These are the symptoms I have, you know, in order to get help. But if they're feeling like, okay, I think this might be the case, or they're just like me, they don't have PMDD, but they're very sensitive to their environment, they're sensitive to noise and to touch. Are there any kind of like places, either for mindfulness or minimalism or both, where you would be like, okay, let's start here? Like, this is where you should start kind of on your path. I know you were mentioning some things. For like, you know, making your bed and routines and everything. But even on the mindfulness side, like, where did you kind of start with incorporating that into your daily life?
Okay. Well, firstly, if you think you may have PMDD, a great place to start is The IAPMD is the International Association for Premenstrual Disorders. They not only have all the information you need, but they have these really great downloadable tracking sheets. And you can use those to track your symptoms. And yes, you're correct. When you go to get a diagnosis, what the diagnosis is based on, what doctors want to see, is that you've had certain symptoms and a certain number of them consistently over a few cycles. So you probably want to track at least two or three cycles. And the idea is that they want to make sure that there isn't some other diagnosis going on, because it can look like also bipolar or maybe some other conditions. So number one, tracking. And if you think you have PMDD or you might have PMDD, tracking your symptoms and starting to use that information to sort of build your routines and your schedule and your calendar around, also to me, is part of that whole simple living and mindfulness strategy and can be super helpful. And then, yeah, I think that self-compassion is huge. And you just finding you don't have to take a lot of time for it. You know, if you, I love transitions from one activity to another. I love to just stop and any sounds that I have on, you know, turn that off, stop the podcast that I love to listen to, and just take a few breaths, or just remember to like look up and look around and take in my environment. Walking, I love to walk, and just remembering to like take a moment and check in with yourself. Because a lot of times we're on autopilot and we're not realizing how we feel. So if we can just take a moment to check in with ourselves and see what maybe thoughts are running through our head all day or how we feel physically, that can be huge, because that can inform our next steps. And I think that making space both in your physical environment and in your mind, and in, this may sound like cheesy or woo-woo, but like in your heart, you know, like when you can sort of make some space between those thoughts and all the kind of like foggy brain feeling, I feel like that's when we can start to gain clarity about what it is we want to do next, or what it is that we want to prioritize if our capacity is decreased. So trying to find the ways that work for you, whether that's mindfulness or minimalism or not, figuring out how you can create space between that autopilot, between the ruminating thoughts, between the brain fog and yourself, is probably the thread that connects all those things together, I think.
Yeah, I love the, kind of getting out of autopilot and really finding ways to check in with yourself, like checking in with your body. 'Cause I find that even for myself, that you have the to-do list, and sometimes you're just like, okay, I'm just doing everything on this list, and you just do it all. And then you look up and you're like, wait a minute, did I eat? Like, did I drink any water today? Like, what happened today? That happens a lot. And especially if you're having the brain fog and kind of that decreased capacity, it's sometimes you're just like, well, I'm just going to buckle down. But being able to have those check-ins is really important. And I know helps me when I'm not feeling grounded in whatever I want to be feeling grounded in, like that swirling, the mind swirl that happens so often. Just being able to do those check-ins. And I'll make sure to link to that organization that you mentioned, because I think that'll really help. What one thing I have learned about PMDD, but probably for similar conditions as well, is that medical professionals are going to want to see that tracking. Like, that's a very important part of getting your diagnosis. And sometimes I'm thinking when you're in the midst of barely functioning because of it, it's really hard to be like, okay, I need to track everything. But otherwise, you're still going to be kind of stuck in that spot, right? You just really have to kind of do what you can to track as much as you can. Is that correct?
That's true. Thank you for bringing that up. It can feel like another thing to do, and it can feel overwhelming if the paper chart is too much. You know, there's apps. I use an app called Clue. The IAPMD has their own app. Anything that you can do to get more information, to collect data to bring to your doctor would be helpful.
Well, I think this is really like a good little, I would say deep dive. It kind of is a deep dive because I feel like most people have never even heard of PMDD, and they probably either, I think it's, I was trying to find the statistics that it's what, 3 to 8% of women, at least in the United States, deal with it, but it goes largely undiagnosed, from my
Correct.
understanding.
Yeah. In fact, I just got a Google alert about a piece of news today. The Oxford University has some new research. They think it's about 31 million people worldwide. So it's about 1.6% of women, girls, people assigned female at birth who have a cycle and are of reproductive age. 1.6% might not sound like a lot, but it's about 31 million people worldwide. And those are the ones who have that tracking and like really obvious symptoms. And there may be many more that we don't know of.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing to kind of bring this to light and then to also give some really practical and tactical helpful tips for how we can navigate it. So I would love if you could let everyone know the best way to connect with you if they want to learn more and kind of learn more about the things you do from a mindfulness and coaching standpoint. So let us know where we can connect with you.
Yeah, I think the easiest are I do have a podcast called Mindfulness for PMDD with Diane, and I have an Instagram account at Mindfulness for PMDD, and both of those will, contain all the links you need. So in my podcast, in the show notes, you've got all the links to connect with me, and in my Instagram, I do have a link tree with all the links to get in touch or to learn more.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Dan. This was a really helpful conversation. I know it's going to bless a lot of moms that might be struggling out there. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I love chatting with you.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.